Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. It is just me and Sim here on this episode. I want to thank again Ray and Amp for hopping on the pod. What was now almost 2 weeks ago, but really awesome stuff that they provided. Some really good back and forth and kind of really interesting perspective. So hope you guys all enjoyed that one. If you haven't had a chance, definitely go back and listen to that one. Really cool stuff. And again, thanks to both of them for hopping on, and looking forward to hopefully getting them on future podcasts as well. But Sim, kind of since the last time we talked, the basketball schedule, or I'm sorry, I can't even talk, the basketball roster has kind of changed a little bit. Some moves we were expecting, some probably took us a little by surprise. So in total, four guys entered the transfer portal. Brian Waddell, William Berg, Cam Heidi, and Miles Colvin. With Cam going to Texas, Miles going to Wake Forest, and I have not seen yet where Brian or Will have landed, if they've made a decision yet. But those four guys have entered the portal. Brian and Will, we had kind of talked about. I think those were probably the two most anticipated ones. If you would have asked me after the season was over and told me, that Miles or Cam would have been hitting the portal, I wouldn't have been too surprised. I think the fact that both of them are entering the portal, is a little su surprising. But on the flip side too, it kind of makes sense if you look at it from their perspective. Like, you hate to see both those guys leave, just for kind of what they've given to the program, but understandably, it's a chance for them to kind of go out and shine. Where, looking at this Purdue roster, there's not going to be a whole lot of minutes to hand out.
No, I agree. I think the like you said, I agree with you on the on Miles and Cam. Like I could have seen a scenario where one of those two ended up entering into the portal, but to see both of them, that kind of shocked me. I mean, like from just that perspective. But as we've had some time, like since though, the announcements have come out of them being the portal and then even subsequently going to their respective schools. It kind of, I mean, it makes sense. It really does. I think with Miles, I think that he needs to be in a, he probably wants to be in a situation, a system where he kind of has more freedom, more ability to kind of showcase some of the other parts of his game. I think in the previous episode, I might've mentioned of the way he was attacking the basket, I think in the Rutgers game, like the one at Mackey, and I just remember thinking like, how come he doesn't do that more? But for all I know, that might not have been within the system, that might not have been the the responsibilities that he had, in terms of he want, I think seeing much more like he was asked to be more of a spot and I mean a 3-and-D guy, a spot up shooter, and obviously if he has pro aspirations, you want to get to somewhere where you can showcase, no, I can do more than that. So I understand that, and like you said with Cam, I think I think especially because Miles came first and then Cam, so I was kind of thinking with Cam like, all right, cool, like he's probably staying for sure, because now he doesn't necessarily have to battle for those minutes with Miles. But like you said, like it doesn't necessarily mean that he was going to like. There weren't a lot of minutes, and so you just when you kind of foresee not only with just the additions that that have already been confirmed, but with the you have I think Jack Benner who'll be coming off his red shirt, you have a new guy in Antoine West, and you have the possibility of you have the expected development and progress of CJ and Jakari. You can see a scenario in where he sees, okay, look, maybe I'm not gonna have the same amount of minutes that I would want. And so like then yeah, you start to look around yourself to see if you can get that because I mean Cam he definitely was turning things around towards the end of last year. Obviously he hit that massive three to tie the game up against Houston, which unfortunately for his name was not going to be remembered kind of the way we wanted to. But He definitely, I mean, he could play at the college level, and honestly, I love the fact that both of those guys were able to go to other D1 schools, because I do believe they're both, they are D1 caliber. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and not even a knock on both those guys, but I think that Purdue would be able to find to be able to replace those guys. Might not be obviously people who are carbon copies, but I think that those are two guys who, while you will miss them for sure, they're not irreplaceable. It's not like if you'd lost Zach Edey in the portal, because I mean, honest to lie,
Yeah.
I probably would have cried.
Yeah. So, want to just wish them kind of the best of luck, and thank them for everything that they did, because they were really fun to watch, man. Like, those were two guys that you just enjoyed watching play. They gave you kind of some of the highlight plays, just exciting players. And wish them nothing but the best as they move on to new spots. And speaking of moving on to new spots, Purdue earlier this it's been a couple weeks now, but we didn't really get a chance to talk about it too much on the last episode. So kind of want to really dive into the commitment that the Boilers got in the portal. They got big man Oscar Clough. He is from Australia, out of South Dakota State. So a former Jackrabbit. But, kind of everything that he does is what Purdue really kind of missed last year. So he, just in kind of watching some of his highlights and kind of, just reading about reports about him, he's going to come in and do kind of the dirty work. Under the basket, 6'11" center, averaged a double double at South Dakota State. And it's really kind of that guy that's gonna protect the rim, and just be kind of an enforcer down low, get those rebounds. And just seems like a perfect fit for what Purdue really needed to kind of take the next step that they want to take next year.
Yeah, no, I think I agree completely. He's another big, but he's a capable big, in terms of offensively, and you needed that as a complement to Trey. And because I think we saw was in the Houston game, there were times where like they didn't even actually, I think Houston might be maybe even McNeese State as well, but like teams wouldn't guard Caleb because they didn't fear him offensively. He didn't necessarily have, even if he was back, like obviously if he's out there on the three, you weren't gonna guard him. But even back to the basket, like. Where you didn't fear Caleb like that, but Oscar Clough is not this. He doesn't appear to be the same of that same ilk. I mean, he like you said, he averaged 17 and 12, and just from watching his highlights, you watch the way that he operates in the paint. He seems to be able to score really free throw line in, and just to have another guy who's capable of who I would say you're capable of running your offense through, and playing that high low basketball with the high pick and roll. Yeah, he seems like he's gonna be a really good fit for what we're trying to do here, and I love that. I love that. I love the way that can even like benefit a guy like Trey, because I think with those 12 rebounds, I couldn't help but think about. I think it was Ray who talked about the difference in the way that like Trey rebounds versus like Edie, where like Edie gets. Like he'll move to get a rebound, but like Trey is like like Trey like the rebound kind of has to already be in that vicinity. And Clough seems like he's a guy who's more like Edie in terms of like, no, I'll just get the rebound. And you hope that like that kind of that play that style almost hopefully it can benefit Trey, because if you're going up against that in practice, like if you're trying to defensively, you're trying to close out a possession, you gotta get kills, gotta get the rebound. And if you know the guy that you're guarding is going to go after the ball like that, well, now you have to play that way as well, or at least you'd hope. But yeah, really excited to get him and to see just what that front court, those combinations could be, of having him and having, Jacobson, him and Trey. I mean, we got a little bit of taste of Trey and Jacobson last year. Obviously, we're gonna get more of that, but like, you can run. I'm sure you can probably have lineups if Trey gets into foul trouble, and same thing with like Jacobson, where you can play, Clough at the five, and go small. So, just yeah, honestly, I was surprised the fact that, given his how he was ranked in terms of the transfer rate rankings, it was a pleasant surprise for Purdue to be able to get him to sign up. So, I mean, to sign.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think kind of one of the underrated aspects of getting him is that you can really ease Daniel back into gameplay. He's c coming off a major injury, and won't really have played competitive basketball in almost a year. So it probably would have been unfair to kind of, to with the expectations that this team will have going into to the year with the non-conference schedule that they'll have, to kind of throw him right into, the deep end of the pool, may probably wasn't going to be fair. So now getting a guy like an Oscar Kolov, who I'm going to assume is going to start at the five, at least starting off, you can bring Daniel in and kind of ease him into where he can really, maximize his minutes, and just make sure he gets back into that game shape. Hopefully that'll kind of make the transition a little bit more smooth. And then, to your point, you can really mix and match with those three bigs, with him, Daniel, and Trey. But I just think it just gives you a bit more flexibility. And just, you kind of let Daniel get his feet wet just a little bit, because we got to remember, he's only played two games his whole career in college. And coming off a major injury like that, it'll just be nice to kind of have Oscar to kind of bridge that gap and getting Daniel really ready to go.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think like that would have been the benefit of like of if if Daniel had stayed healthy this year, if he didn't didn't have that injury, is that like he would have taken those lumps much like a Jakari and CJ did by being able to play the whole year. And so you'd probably be in a different position if he gets to play. Obviously he gets hurt and that that sucks, but obviously I mean but then he took the year to work on his body. But nonetheless, he still has to go through those growing pains, of going through a full season as a college player. And like you said, now you have the ability to kind of ease him back into it. And like you said, yeah, if he can find a way to be as impactful as possible, even in like shorter minutes. And then obviously, as you get in, more and more into the season, you could play him for longer stretches. But yeah, this bodes well for I think everyone else who plays in that front court. Yeah, whether it's Trey, yeah, and like or Trey or Daniel, and then even like we're even forgetting Raleigh. So I think everyone's gonna benefit from having another guy, from having a guy like Oscar Clough there, as being a possible front court mate.
Yeah, so really kind of excited of kind of what he can bring. And I did kind of just want to talk about two guys specifically, who you're really going to need to see take the next step, especially now with Cam and Miles gone. And that's Jakari and CJ. As how the roster is constructed right now, it looks like that CJ will probably still be the one of the starting guards, and then Jakari will probably be the first guy off the bench. Now, granted, that can all change if you bring in other kind of guys, and signs seem to be pointing that Paint and staff are looking specifically for some help on the wing, but. Those are two guys who you're really going to need to see take the next step, especially losing both Miles and Cam.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. As soon as those two enter the portal, then the burden kind of fell on CJ and Jakari in terms of like they have to have a productive summer, and they have to take that leap. Because whether fair or unfair, but yeah, that's they're going to be relied upon because they played last year, and so that as experienced hands, you want to make you're hoping that with that. the year's knowledge, and then the off season that they come back and they're able, they're ready and able to give you more on a nightly basis. So yeah, the onus that will definitely fall on those two. They will need to step up. But I also think that they're both capable of doing it. I mean, we saw flashes last year, especially for Jakari, who I think really started to more consistently figure it out towards the back end of the season. We saw flashes of what these guys can do. I mean, obviously everyone's gonna remember the Alabama game for CJ and just erupting on his own for his own personal run, to basically put that game away. But those guys showed signs. They showed signs of being able to play at this level, and if we can get that to be consistent, then yeah, well, we should be just fine. I think, yeah, like asking more of them wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. So we'll of course kind of talk more about their development kind of as we look ahead to next year, but just wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit. The other big news out of West Lafayette came earlier today on Monday, where I think this was one of those things that got blown way out of proportion about the potential for him leaving, but it's just kind of nice to see it confirmed. But Braden Smith announced that he would be back for year number four. And there was all rumors flying around about, was he going to Kentucky or Kansas or Illinois or IU? But he's staying in West Lafayette, where he belongs. And like I said, I don't think it was like any real worry, but it's just kind of a sense of relief. And now it's like, okay, now let's get this thing rolling.
Right. No, I agree. That was one, I think, and I don't think we might have talked about it on here, but that was one where we were like towards the end of the year, we were having a conversation, and it was basically like, who do you think might leave? And people were, yeah, there were already rumors that were talking about, oh, Braden might leave at the end of the year. And like Braden, TKR, and Fletch were just three who, like, I was going to have to see it to believe it. Like, I just, until then, to me, I was like, well, why would you leave? Like, how do you find a better situation what you have now? So if they're gonna leave, like, I'm gonna need to see like their social media post that says it, but yeah, like you said, it was just, it's nice now that, Brayden came out and officially said, yeah, we're gonna run this shit back, that now we can just be like, all right, cool, we're done with that now. Now we can get to the real shit, which is, trying to, improving it better, and obviously, like you mentioned earlier, Paint and the staff trying to probably are still perusing the portal to see about getting a player or two. But we can start attending to the business of next year, and that's what I'm glad about. I'm glad that this is now behind us.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it just makes sense. Like the dude is gonna go down as the best passer in pre-history. Is you know he's we've talked about it pod after pod where he's gonna basically rewrite the entire Purdue basketball record books, as far as assists, points, like the things he's doing, wins. He's probably him and Fletch, I'm sure. Are going to break the record next year for the winningest guys. And just for how the season ended, in a game in which he really balled out, 15 assists against one of the best defenses in the country. And it just kind of feels like, all right, well, we got unfinished business. It feels, kind of like after Purdue got upset as the one seed and everybody came back and like there was all this talk and all this momentum, like this is the year now. It's kind of what it feels like already, and it's only April. So I can just imagine, as we get closer and closer to fall next year, how that's going to build. But just really exciting time now that he's back. Like every, all the too early polls, for the most part, either have Purdue at one or two. And that's with the roster that they have right now. So, if you're able to add some more impactful talent, then they're probably the clear-cut number one team right now. And it's going to be written a lot, but it's just going to be some really cool potential storylines out there with the Final Four being in Indianapolis. But with these guys being back, man, it's just you can already feel the excitement, and it's April 14th. Like, we got a long ways to go until the season tips off next year, but like, it just feels like everybody's chomping at the bit and ready to get this thing rolling for next year.
No, I with all the news that's become that's come out to this point, like you said, and even especially like it'll only get worse. Like, you know, if we have another couple, like another, a big announcement or something like that in terms of like bringing a couple of guys in, just the anticipation. It's just like the feeling was a couple years ago where, like you said, it ran it back and everyone had the expectation of like, no, we're going for the national, we're going for the natty. And that was, I think that was kind of all, that was all of our expectations in terms of like, no, we should be better. We should make a deep run. And kind of this season seems like it's going to mirror that in terms of the feeling. So, I'm going to try to enjoy my time though, between now and November, because Lord knows I will stress a whole fucking shit, during the season. So yeah, I'll be all right.
And it'll be just kind of thinking like, we always talk about kind of the golden era, but now you'll have Braden back, who is going to obviously be the probably preseason Big Ten player of the year, maybe the preseason national player of the year. Can we get 4 years in a row to have the player of the year? Like, there's just going to be so many interesting storylines now with Braden back, like, just from Purdue in general. Like, I just feel like a lot of teams are going to get sick and tired of hearing about us. But, with Purdue, with all the talk about transfer portal and what team got this guy back, just bringing back Braden, bringing Black back Fletch, bringing back Trey, adding what you added, like, Purdue is really having a really good off season, albeit kind of quiet as far as names right now. But they are shaping up to be probably the top team, preseason number one team in the country right now.
And yeah, man, it just that just wasn't something we would talk about like, you know, like 10 years ago. So it's kind of interesting. It's just cool to see that this is the point that the program has gotten to, where, yeah, like you said, you've had the quality of players in terms of the All-Americans and players of the year. And just kind of see, yeah, it seems like year in and year out now, like, nope, Purdue is expected to work. We have this expectation of not just within our fan base, but just like even from like a national level. So fun times ahead.
Yeah,
Like I said, I'm chilling this
and
summer, man.
speaking of All-Americans, I did just want to highlight too, because in this transfer portal era, I think it's pretty cool now that you're going to have two All-Americans returning back to their school that they started, with Braden Smith and then JT Toppin. At Texas Tech. Like, it's just really good for college basketball to have these kind of storylines of guys who have been in a program, who have worked their way up and then sticking around at schools, even if, reaching All-American honors, can probably go wherever they want. And they're going back to their school. So just kind of thought that was kind of interesting that we got two All-Americans going back to their school. And just kind of wanted to give that kind of a shout out there, because I think that's really neat. And there's always like the negative talk about the portal and things like that, but when guys stick around, I feel like it doesn't get enough attention. So just, quick shout out there too, because those are going to be some real cool storylines next year as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, man, Braden back, Fletch back, Hurry back. So that basically means Purdue's going to the Natty next year, right? So,
Here this fucking guy goes, man. Yo, lately, if
no,
you're in
but.
Vegas, yo, if you in Vegas right now, go ahead and put a futures bet on it. So that way we know. So that way we know it's real.
No, but definitely exciting times for the basketball team, like you said. Hopefully some more news on the horizon too. Like, I think it's pretty obvious Payton and his staff aren't done. They're really trying to go after adding another wing player. Now who that is, I'm not sure. There's been different names thrown out there. But Payne's not done, and really kind of it almost seems, he's putting all his chips in too. First getting Clough, and now going after like another wing, and it seems like he's probably had some talks with guys and said, hey, like, this is our year. You may not get the type of minutes that you're going to get because I'm going to go get this guy who's going to come and play because it makes us a better team.
Best team we can be, yeah.
And you got to either take that or leave that. But I kind of get the vibe that Paint, is kind of putting all of his chips in, based off of kind of how aggressive he's been going after some of these wings out there.
Yeah, no, it definitely does seem like he notices the moment. And I think, yeah, getting another wing, hopefully that's a lesson or an understanding from when they lost to UConn, and the importance of being able to have guys who can just who can go one on one. So yeah, man, I agree with you. I don't think they're done. And so it's just gonna be interesting to see who they get and then how all these pieces come together by the fall.
So it'll be really interesting to see kind of how the chips will kind of fall. We will definitely be here to break it all down, and talk about any new additions, as like you said, it really does feel like there'll be at least one more addition to the roster there. So really kind of exciting to see who they'll add and kind of how that person will fit within the team. Did just kind of want to switch gears just a little bit, and make sure we kind of highlight the Purdue a baseball team. They had a rough go of it as of late. I believe they were on almost a 7-game losing streak, but had a big bounce back weekend and then game earlier today on Monday. So back still at home, or back at home, I should say, after a couple tough weeks out west. Bounce backs series win against Rutgers. They took the game on Friday, 2-1, and then Saturday 10-5. Lost on Sunday 6-3, but then bounced back earlier today. They had Arizona State at home, and a pretty exciting walk-off win, 8-6, where they were down 6-5 heading into the ninth inning, and walked that one off. I believe they were down 4-0 or 4-1 to start too. So nice kind of bounce back win, and got some good vibes going before they head out to State College to take on the Nittany Lions. But just kind of almost like much needed wins there. And it's nice to see some kind of a team after going through a losing streak like that, to bounce back and win a big conference series. So just the way they bounced back today, get a nice non-conference win, but to keep fighting and, for like kind of cliche, but they really showed like never give up type spirit there.
Yeah, man. I mean, like you said, they lost like seven straight, and so you have there's an opportunity for the season to really go off the rails, and they had kind of given themselves a cushion to an extent, but obviously you don't ever plan on having a losing streak like that. So for those guys to be able to turn it around, like you said, in the Rutgers series and be able to take two out of three there, and then get right back on the winning track after after losing to beat Arizona State shows you the kind of the resiliency of this team and how I think they might they those guys probably all know we still have plenty to play it, you know, there's still plenty in front of us, plenty to play for, and hopefully, yeah, hopefully now that this is kind of the lone like down period they have and they're able to kind of really get on a run back in the right direction.
Yep. Yeah, and the opportunity is there. They're still, 23-13 on the year. So even with that losing streak, still 10 games above 500. So solid record there. But like we said, the opportunity is still there kind of for them to do some damage later in the year. But it will start this weekend as they head out to State College. They'll take on Penn State Friday evening. That's a 5:30 first pitch on Friday, and then a 2 p.m. first pitch on Saturday, and they will wrap the series up on Sunday with a 1 p.m. first pitch. All of those games will be on Big Ten Plus. So check that out, and good luck to the Boilers, as they have a big series on the road. But that should just about wrap everything up on this episode. But before we close out, I just want to ask you one thing, Sim, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But do you happen to recall where you finished in the First and Gold
I knew this bullshit.
bracketology contest?
I knew this bullshit was finna come up. I know, look, I know I didn't win, but I don't know where I finished at. Where I finished at.
You did not win, sir.
I didn't. That's correct.
Do you know who came in second?
I don't know, but all I know is that like me, he didn't win, so it's straight.
That would be yours truly. So shout out to me for once again showing that I'm smarter than Sim.
Once again.
No, but on a serious note, a shout out to everybody who joined that group. Was fun kind of doing a little trash talking during the tournament there. And hopefully you finished better than Sim. Most everybody did.
That's terrible. Wow.
So
Wow,
shout out to
it
you.
really be your own motherfucking people, man. God damn.
No,
This
but
guy.
want to thank everybody for listening. Again, thanks for all the love the past few weeks, all the shares, the retweets. Hope you guys really enjoyed this pod, the pod before, all of them. Just keep interacting with us online with the 5-star reviews. We'll have some more fun stuff as we kind of go through the quote unquote off season months here. But we'll still have basketball news, football news with the transfer portal opening up. So we will have lots to talk about and more exciting stuff. But thank you all for listening, and most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.